Amen. Thank you. Holders, let's take our Bibles, if we will, please, and turn to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, Genesis, first book of the Bible. Chapter number 12, verse number 1. We didn't quite get finished. Anybody need a worksheet? If you didn't get a worksheet, if you'd like to have one, just flip your hand up. Guys will come around and give you one. Just keep your hand up until they're there. Genesis chapter 12. I have another. We're going to read through verse 18, and that was where I was headed. And then as I studied, and I thought we're never going to make it that far. So I want to finish up some thoughts we had from last week. Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1, where we're starting. And I'm excited about this series just because, kind of like this morning, I think sometimes we don't think we're good candidates to be used of God. I don't think we're good candidates. We feel like God's going to even answer our prayers or hear us, or somehow I think, well, you know, that's for the religious people. That's for the saints. That's for somebody else. And that's a wonderful thing about the Word of God. God shows all His great saints, warts and all. Now, some people come along and say, well, that's a saint, and they did that, so it must be okay. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying that's somebody who I've blessed, but they're sinners too. And I want to show you that I'm not expecting perfection. He does want us to try. He does want us to yield to him. He wants us to obey him. But the fact is, if he was waiting for perfection before he could bless us, there's none of us he can bless. None of us. And so, I just appreciate this. I'll be honest with you, it gives me hope. It gives me consolation. It kind of takes the edge off of it. It kind of gives you a little bit of relief to say, you know, God loves me, and I want to love him, and so I want to do everything I can to please him. But even when I mess up, he's not going to toss me out on the curb. Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1. I'm going to read the first nine verses. It says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, of course that's Abraham, later he would be called Abraham, says, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed. What did he say? He said, get thee out. And so Abraham got himself out. Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. And Lot went with him. That was his nephew. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, which ended up being Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. Again, that sounds funny, but it says they went to go, and they got there. Now, what they're saying is they didn't stop in the middle. They didn't turn around and go back. See, that's the point he's saying. They went. They started out, and they got there. It was over 400 miles by foot from Haran down to the Canaan area. So there was, that was quite a trip. Verse 6, and Abram passed through the land. Let me say something else. I'm going to go back to and say it one more time. It's not in my message here. It says, they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into to the land of Canaan, they came. God was waiting there for them. God's word says they came. They left, and they came. A little tidbit there. So verse 6, and Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh. And a Canaanite was then in the land. So it was full of all these Canaanites, all these people who live in Canaan. So he shows up, but there's a bunch of people there. Now, this is supposed to be his land, but there's all these people here. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. So he shows up in the land of Canaan, and there's all these villages of Canaanites. There's these towns, these cities of Now, when they talk about city, they would have called Dover a city. Okay, so we're not talking about huge places, but there was a city. Now, some cities were much larger than that. But there was these cities, there was these towns, and we're full of these things. And so Abraham shows up, and there's all these people here already possessing land. And he told them to come down from Ron to go down to Canaan, because he's going to give them this land. So they show up there, and all these people are there, and God says, okay, this is yours. What do you mean it's mine? It's theirs. That's yours. It will be yours. And so he says, and unto thy seed will I give this land. See, look at that. Verse 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed, you will transfer this down. Your seed, your descendants are going to get this land because of you. But they're the ones who are going to get it. There's a step of faith there. And so there he built an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel. Bethel meaning house of God. And pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. We're going to do stepping out on faith. This is the part two here tonight. Stepping out of faith. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. I thank you for this very clear, but yet we need the very subtle in some ways, directions that you give us to walk by faith, to live a life by faith. And Lord, help me to be a blessing. Help me to do what I need to do. May your Holy Spirit move, and we give you the praise for it in Christ's name. Amen. Now, you got a little quiz on the front of your paper from where we started a few weeks ago. You got a little quiz. Abraham was an ordinary man. Now, Abraham had ordinary faults. F-A-U-L-T-S. Fill in the blank. Faults. We have faults. How many are married to somebody that has faults? Yeah, absolutely. Boy, some hands went up real fast there. I saw that. Yeah. Yeah, and the other people are married to folks who have faults too, you know. How many have kids who have faults? Yeah. You have kids, how many have parents who have faults? We all have faults. All God's children have faults. Abraham had ordinary faults. When I say ordinary, this is the same thing that hits us. Common to man. Next one, Abraham had ordinary fears. Fears. This is all stuff we learned a few weeks ago, but I want you to have this in your mind here. He had ordinary fears. He's Abraham. Oh, our father was Abraham. That's what the Pharisees said, yeah. And he would have been glad to see my day. Why? Because he needed a Savior. He knew what he was. He had ordinary faults, ordinary fears, and so Abraham had ordinary failures. In other words, come to the club. Welcome to the club. That's why I have a problem when folks say, well, you know, I'm not sure you so-and-so is good enough to be in this church or this and the other thing. Wait a minute. How can we be a respect to persons when we all have ordinary faults and fears and failures? God died and paid for our sins. Christ died on the cross for every one of those people. Everybody, us, whether we're quote-unquote good sinners or bad sinners, that makes no difference to God. We're all sinners headed for hell. Now, had faults, fears, failures. Abraham had ordinary faith in the faithfulness of an extraordinary God. I'm good. I want you to remember this. Abraham had ordinary faith in the faithfulness of an extraordinary God. Doesn't take a lot of faith. It's just enough faith to move. I'm going to give you that. Right there. Faith is faith. Faith is not feelings. Oh, you're catching this stuff. Man, that's good. Faith is not some feeling. Oh, I believe, I believe, I believe. Oh, yes, I believe. In what? I believe. In what? Your faith is only as good as the object of your faith. Faith is not feelings. Faith moves forward. Oh, you're so good. Moves forward. Faith says, God says, this is what I need you to do. He said, get ye out of the land. And What was the evidence of the faith that Abraham had? He got himself out. He got out. He departed. He departed. And because he had faith in God, not because Abraham never failed, not because Abraham never sinned, not because Abraham had the greatest faith in all the world, but God, because he believed God, enough faith to do what God called him to do, Abraham was seen as a friend of God. And Abraham was seen as family. He said, get you out and be out, come out from among, be you separate, and I will be a father unto you. Family to God. Now the conditions of faith have not changed. God has not changed what he accepts as faith. Faith is still action based on a promise or command of God. And the criteria used to judge us faithful has not changed and does not change depending on our circumstances. The criteria used to judge us faithful has not changed, and it does not change depending on our circumstances. God says do it, we do it. Now, last week we saw the condition of Abraham, and we saw that he was living in the Ur of the Chaldees. I gave you these. It's where the birthplace of civilization. It was a Sumerian culture. In fact, the place, it was part of the Sumerian cult, if you will. Ur means flame. They worshipped fire. That's what it means. They worshipped fire. Now, Haran, daddy, Abraham, was supposed to go follow God, and his daddy, Terah, by the way, just kind of means dirt. That's what Terah is. But anyway, he said, well, let's go as far as Haran. So they went up. It was about 900 miles up to Haran. They went around the Arabian Desert up to about here, and they needed to go to Canaan. And they stopped right there. And they stayed there until daddy died. And sometimes we get a slow start. But Haran was about halfway to Canaan from the land of Ur, Ur of the Chaldees. Now, we saw where he started, the condition of Abraham. We all live in a world full of people who trust all kinds of things, whether it's money, some philosophy, whether it's the government, some superstition. That's where he was. And he says, I want you to follow me. Now, you know, you can see money. You can see government. Listen, there's a lot of things you can see, and we like to trust what we can see rather than what we cannot see. And he says, I want you to get out from among them. So number two, that we saw the command of God last week. Now the Lord has set the command. The Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Get thee out means to walk and keep on walking. Don't go back and in and out and in and out and in and out and in and out. Parents, let me say something. You don't have to leave your kids in the mess of the world. And let me tell you this. I've seen it too many times where families will say, well, we keep them pretty straight, but every once in a while we let them do some things that, you know, I had a parent one time say, well, they got to have some fun. And what that meant was they need to go back into the world and do some of the things that the world does. Listen. Do you know why drug dealers will give the first one for free? Because they'll come back. Our flesh naturally inclines to these things. And so if we can watch, if you keep your kids and you and when if all you're doing is keeping your thumb on your kids, trying to keep them straight, rather than teaching them the word of God. That's how you did. That's what the word of the word of God. The Proverbs talks about that. Teaching your kids. And we need to pull them. No, they don't need to be in a lot of that mess. And then all of a sudden we let them have a little bit of it. Man, it's like ice cream. Well, you know what they want? More. And then all of a sudden they've got a taste for it. And now you're saying, no, we don't want to have too much of it. Now, I'm not against ice cream, just so you know, as you can tell. But I am against sin, and I'm against the mess the world has. Don't, listen, get out, keep, walk away, and keep walking. That's what it means there. It says, get out and keep walking. He says, out of your country. What that says, harmonizing with that. Again, folks that you feel comfortable with. Hey, we're all the same. You know what? If we're like the world, we're going to have a trouble. We're going to be in a mess. We cannot let ourselves come into that mess and just stay there, because we'll be right back down the mud with everybody else. Not that we're better. The problem is, it's not that I'm good. The problem is, I've got a sinful heart that inclines that direction. As if I'm going to stay away from that, I've got to keep several steps away from it. Don't ride the cliff. When I was 18 years old, my mom and dad and my sister, we all took a trip to California. Took a month, and my sister had just graduated with her associate's degree, and I graduated from high school, and it's kind of like, you know, this might be the last summer we have a chance to go on vacation. And my dad had a nephew who had built a plane. My dad always liked planes, and he had been in the Marines, and he was living out in California, Oceanside, California. And we decided we were going to take a trip, take a month to go out, and so forth. And so we drove out there. I'm 18 years old. We had this big old, I talked about this big old 72 station wagon. You know, it was 1978, and that old thing had this much sheet metal behind the rear wheels, and you just kind of go down the road like this. It just kind of swing around. And we were going up route number one along the coast. You know what I'm talking about? Have you been up there? Now, I don't know what it's like now, but up there, I'm talking to Sam here. She lived down in California. I don't know what it's like now, but there was no guardrails on that road. Are there some on there now, do you know, or bits and pieces here and there? There's no guardrails, and the blacktop goes to the edge. You know what I'm talking about? But the thing goes up the side of the mountain like this. And I never did ride well. You mean just never did. And it was just, oh my soul, I'm turning three shades of green, you know. But as long as I'm driving, I'm okay. Now, I was 18 years old, and I said, can I drive? I'm going to get sick back here. Dad said, okay, go ahead and drive. Well, I've been driving since I was 16, you know. And so we're driving up the road there, and I'm looking, I'm sightseeing. I'm having a good old time. And my mom goes, God's making up there. And I'm driving along the edge. Now, I'm 16. You know what? I mean, 18. You know what I am? Stupid. You know what people who don't understand, don't have fear of that kind of stuff, fear of the danger? We run right up to the edge and looking. Now, I felt fine now. I was nice and pink. You know, the green was all gone. I'm having a good time. And my mom said, you can't do this anymore. Sterling, my father's name is Sterling. And he said, you get back in the driver's seat. I'm going to have a heart attack back here. That's what we do. We stay so close. We walk away from that mess. We're going to stay away from it. Get away from it. Don't stay so close to it. And he said, it's harmonized. We're living in a country, we get too close to it, becomes comfortable. He says, stay away from thy father's house, thy kindred, the place where you grew up. Isn't that awful? This is your father's house. It was what they were accustomed to. Watch me now. Remember, Abraham was accustomed to a heathen culture. This was not a godly culture God was asking him to leave from. But it was what he was comfortable with. Normal stuff. Just because we're comfortable with it doesn't make it right. So he was asking him, he was being commanded to leave that which is wrong to go to something that which is right. He's not being asked to leave something that's right. He's being asked to leave something that's wrong to go out and do what God has called him. Now, so we saw the command. Number three, we saw the capacity. In other words, God's promise. He says, you go, and look what it says, and I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that curse thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That's the Lord's promise. And he can make it happen. To bless those that bless Abraham, to curse those that curse Abraham. God says, I'm going to bless you. All I'm asking is for you to do is to come out from the mess and go where I tell you. Well, where are we going? I'll tell you. Well, where are we going? I'll tell you. Well, how do I know when I'm going to get there? I'll tell you. What was I needed to leave? Number four, this is where we ended up last week. Now we saw the commitment. Now we've got a command of God. Talking about what faith is. We're stepping out on faith. God gives a command. In the context of that command, God gives a promise. He has the capacity to take care of you as you follow His command. Now here's our part. The commitment. Now, there's two ways of using that term. One, people say, well, I'm committed to do this. I'm going to do it. It's the determination. That's not what I'm talking about. The commitment that I'm talking about is taking something that's important to you and turning it over into the care of another. When I lead somebody to the Lord, a lot of times I'll say, one of the things I'm saying, this Bible says, trust, if you believe with thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so I talk about the fact that one day I was leading to the Lord, I was leading a guy to the Lord, he didn't know me, and I said, do you trust me? And he says, well, yeah, you're a preacher, I trust you. I said, would you give me your wallet and let me go downtown? And he just looked at me like, you're crazy, man, I'm not giving you my wallet. And I said, well, of course you won't, because you don't trust me. But I said, I've been in the hospital a couple times, and I've given my wife my wallet. Doesn't bother me a bit. She pays all the bills anyway. And so in there's my driver's license and my credit card and my Social Security card. You could steal who I am with that wallet. But I have no problem to commit that into her hands because I can trust her with all my heart. Give it back. No. Now, listen. That's what I'm talking about. He says, Abraham says, Abraham's not saying, okay, all right, I'm going to follow him. Yeah, I am. I'm determined. And here I go. I made a commitment to do it. No. Lord says, you come out from among them, and I'll take care of you. I'm going to make you a great nation. Cool. It's on you, Lord. But you see, he had to leave where he was and move in faith because it's the move in faith when he actually made the commitment. It's just like that guy. You could say, oh, I believe you, preacher. I trust you. But I'm not giving you my wallet. See, he can believe, but until he commits it into my hands, he has not exercised faith. And that's what God is asking us to do, to exercise faith. It's not just to say, I believe. It's to actually take the step until the point where you have committed yourself into His hands. So we have a commitment of faith, the exercise. Look at verse 4 and number 4. So we have, command says, get thee out of the country. The capacity says, I'll make you a great nation. Number 4, the commitment is, so Abraham departed. Abraham departed. So what he said, he went. Him departing was him giving the commitment, committing himself into the hands of God. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. What did he say? He did what God said. That's the faith. Now Lot went with him. You know what I think? We're going to see this later. Lot likes to go along. When someone's going to get something good, he wants to get along with it. He wasn't following God. He was following a guy that was going to be blessed. If you know the story, we find out someplace else where he said, you know what, I think I'd be better blessed over there. So he wasn't following the man of God. He was following the money. We're going to find that out later. But anyway, so Lot goes with him. So I think Abraham's a pretty good guy. I think the Lord's going to bless him. I think I'm going to go along. I'm going to take a ride along with that boy. So Lot goes with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And watch. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. Now this is much more important than you might think. It counts for much more in the eyes of God than you might think. Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Sychem and unto the plain of Moreh, and a Canaanite was then in the land. Now, number one underneath this letter A here, he saw an exercise of obedience to the command of God. Exercise of obedience to the command of God. Number two, exercise of faith in the promise of God. Now listen, God gives us commands, and sometimes he gives us commands, and we really don't know where we're headed. But the fact is, he gave Abraham some promise. He says, I'm going to make you a great nation. Well, how's that? Don't worry about that. I'm going to make you a great nation. You go where I tell you to do. And the fact is, people who bless you, I'm going to bless. If they curse you, I'm going to curse you. I'm going to curse them. And by the way, it was all said and done, you're going to be a blessing to all nations. Well, how are we going to do that? Don't worry about that. And so when they finally get to Canaan, it says, now this is the land that your people, your kids, your grandkids, down the road, your ancestors are going to have this land. But they won't have it unless you go. Letter B. Oh, this is where it's really the last one we had last week. I want you to see the walk of faith. We talked about stepping out on faith. The walk of faith. Underneath that, watch. Here's a walk of faith. Leave from where you are. Now, again, God doesn't necessarily take us from something that's good to something else that's good. Sometimes he does. But for Abraham, here he's taking someplace that was wrong to some things that was right. Now, that doesn't mean, now, make sure you know that God is telling you and not yourself. I'll tell you what, there were a lot of times in my life where I felt like, well, I think it's time to move on. There's a story, you ask a preacher, he said, you ever feel like resigning? Every Monday morning. You know, that's kind of a running joke amongst preachers. By the way, I don't. I have, but I don't. There's some days you just feel like, what are we doing here? I remember when I got ready, when I got calls all the time, two or three a year when I was down Open Door to come and be somebody else's music director. I got calls three or four times. And the fact is, I was going to make a lateral move. I was going to go from one place to go someplace else to do something different. I mean, to do the same thing, just in a different place. And I guess sometimes God may do that, but I think it's kind of rare. And the fact is, I thought, why in the world should I do that? But then I felt like, I think the Lord's supposed to, there's been a few times where I thought, I hope somebody calls. Because I just about had it. Just about time in the middle of preparation for the living cross down there and things like that. You know, and nobody would call, usually when I'm doing that, you know. And in fact, when I finally decided I needed to go someplace, and I thought, I'm gonna talk to the next person who calls. They stopped calling. Anyway, but then Lord came to me in a different way here to get me up here. Anyway, point is this. The walk of faith, first of all, as crazy as it sounds, you got to leave from where you are. What are we going to leave? He was leaving home. Yeah, that's not on your paper there. Did I give it to you? No. Leaving home. He's leaving his kindred. Leaving the town he's used to living in, that his dad grew up there. Leaving everything that was normal, everything that just kind of feels right. You know, listen, there comes a time in some people's life where they feel the most comfortable behind a bar with a glass in their hand. Some people feel the most comfortable with a cigarette in their finger. Some people feel you know, they feel the most comfortable in some situation they should never be in. But that's what they always grew up in. If, you know, that's what we've always done. He says, no, I want you to leave that mess. Well, how do I know? I mean, we're ever good. Follow me. So we leave the heathen nation. We leave the heathen family. Now, listen, that doesn't mean you never go back and talk to them. Listen, I had to do that, but I still love my family. And there was times when we went back, I mean, we always do. We go back and still see my mom, because she was already saved, but we go back and visit and all the time. But the fact is, I cannot live in that. I may live next door to it, but I can't live in it. And they get in that mess, well, I just politely dismiss myself and see y'all later, and we'll catch you next time. Listen, there's a lot of times I've been to weddings, and, you know, when you do the wedding, all of a sudden you get to the, what some people think is the most important part is the reception, you know, and all the booze starts flying, the cigarette, the lights go down, all of a sudden every guy's got his arms around everybody else's wife, and this, you know, it's time to leave. Time to leave. I don't need to be in that. I'm not better than that. The problem is I am that. Down in the heart and soul of a wicked person, I am that. I want to stay out of that. I got to walk away from it. And so you say, well, what kind of life you're going to have? I'm going to have a life that's better. And by the way, he has proven that to be true. See, they were not leaving something good. They were leaving something bad. And be careful not to think the grass is greener on the other side and thinking it has to be better. You know, you make sure that God's moving you. But if God says do something, you do something. So number one was leave from where you are. Number two, go where and when God says to go, even if you don't know. Even if you don't go, trusting that God will show the way. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He will give you a peace about it. By the way, if he doesn't give you a good, firm peace about it, it wasn't him. I believe that. Listen, when I candidate for church, I candidate for one in Florida, nice church, and to be honest with you, I got to the point where I wanted to take a church. And I got down there, and the fact is, it just didn't feel right. Just couldn't get a peace about it. I candidated a church in Jersey, the same thing. And then when we came up here, I don't know what it was. There were just a handful of people, but it was like, wow, I'm home. Really? I still remember Nathan, 9-year-old Nathan, sitting in the seat right behind me in the minivan. And we were heading home from this picnic we had up here, and he's always such a thinker. And you know when he's thinking, he kind of cocks his head. Have you noticed that, Sam? He kind of cocks his head. Yeah. He's starting to do the things that I do, too. You know, when you're thinking. Have you caught him yet? There's a couple of those here and there. Anyway, he was thinking, and he says, Daddy, it's funny. When we went over to New Jersey, I felt like a visitor. But when we're up here, I feel like we're in our church. Listen, to me, I had prayed that the Lord would speak to my wife, speak to my heart, the kids' heart, the parents' heart, and you've heard the story. And he did. 9-year-old. Peace about it. Next day, we're back in there, and Esther's gone. But we were sitting at the lunch table, and Esther says, she was 13 years old. She says, Daddy, you know, you need to go up there and be their preacher. Now, when he said, well, it feels like home. You remember that picnic? You were there, Miss Olga. There was what, 15 people? 20 maybe? Not many. And you were probably about the average age at the time, weren't you? Weren't you? You're about the, I mean, that was 15 years ago. But, you know, you're about the average age of the person that was there. It was amazing. I think Wilma was there, and we had Alicia, you know, and of course, Megan and Jenny. And they were about the only kids that were there, wasn't it? You know. And therefore, all these kids, that's what they're used to, and it wasn't there. Why would it feel? Because the Lord had put them there. We're put it in the heart. I think God does that. Now, so with the walk of faith is leave. Number two, it's go. Letter C. Now, watch me now. Hang tight with me. Commit thy works. Commit thy works. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The word commit means to roll onto. Roll onto. removing it from you and committing it to the Lord. And I love this picture because it's almost like it's a great big rock that you can't even pick up. You can't just pick it up and hand it to it. It's more than you can handle, and so you're going to put your shoulder, you're going to roll it over onto Him. It's His. Commit thy works. Thy works, your actions, your transactions, your activity, what you're going to do, what God has called, He said, go. Okay, I'm going to start going. Well, how do I know I'm in the right place? I'll tell you. Watch. Commit thy works, your actions unto the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Jehovah. Not just some wishful thinking, not crossing your fingers, crossing your eyes and your toes and your legs and everything else. Listen, it's not wishful thinking. It's a confident expectation. You're committing it unto Him. And He says, and thy thoughts shall be established. The plan, your intentions, your purpose, your plot. It's the idea of plaiting or braiding your hair and weaving together. He says, you give it to God and God will put it all together. You commit your works unto Him, and thy thoughts, your plan, and all the weaving together shall be established. It's going to come together, going to be confirmed, set up in a proper alignment. God says, I'll put it all in place. So commit the work, the activity. Letter D, commit thy way. Commit thy way, and He brings it to pass. Psalm 37:3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. What does that mean? Take your step, walk in His steps, and just do right. Well, I don't know what the next thing I'm supposed to do. Right. Do right. That's what we're supposed to do. Follow the law. Follow the Word of God. Yield to the Spirit. Love one another with an everlasting love. Do right. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Don't steal. Get up and go to work with a good attitude. Just do right. Well, I don't know where the next step is. That's not your point. Do right. When Abraham got up, they went 400 miles. Listen, at about 3 miles an hour? It's going to take a long time to go 400 miles. So when they got up and they started out, they packed up the whole bunch and they started out. The next day, they started out. And the next day, they went some more. And the next day, they went some more. Is this ever going to land? And are we ever going to get to this land of promise? Just keep going. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Watch. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. You just keep going. Doing what I'm asking you to do. They don't even know where we're headed. They didn't have a compass. They had no GPS. There was nobody saying, recalculating. There was nothing of that. There were no signs. Just more dirt. I don't think he stopped at the AAA and got a map. Well, you know where this place is. What's down here somewhere? Well, how do you know? I'll tell you when you get there. You commit your works unto me, and your thoughts shall be established. You commit your way unto me, and I will bring it to pass. Watch, you get all the way down there, I'll take care of you. You'll find yourself in the land. Just keep going. Just keep going. Listen, some of us have been on a trip for a long time. You say, I don't see an end of this. I see no light at the end of the table, tunnel. Keep going. It's a long trip. Keep going. Trust the Lord and do good. Just do right. Don't stop and go off half-cocked. Don't decide you're going to attack this person, that person, and do this. Just keep going. Watch this, verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now watch our verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Commit thy way, the road that you're taking, your course of action, the life you live, the course of life, the mode of action. Listen, take your way, what you're supposed to do, and just commit it into the Lord's hand. Give it to him. Trust also in him. That means leave it in his hands, even to the idea of feeling careless about it. When it says cast your care upon him, there's a certain amount of abandonment with that. Throw it on him. I don't know what to do with it. Why should we give something to God and then tell him how to work with it? Well, God, here it is. Now, here's what I think you ought to do. Well, then why don't you do that? He says, commit it, give it to him. But I'm not sure what he's going to do with it. I know, but he does. Commit thy way unto him. And it says, trust also him. Leave it in his hands with confidence, even though you can't see what's going on. And he shall bring it to pass. He will do it. He will make it happen. He will accomplish it. He will bestow it on us. He will take charge of it and see that it's done. But as long as you're hanging on to it, don't expect him to take it. He's not going to fight with you. He's not even going to share it. You give it to him, and then you let him tell you what you want to do, what he wants you to do, whatever that may be, if anything. So the walk of faith is the leave. He gave you a command, we do it. Leave, go, commit your works, commit your way, letter E, in all thy ways acknowledge him. But what do we do next? It's right. It's like having a GPS. Oh my soul. Turn right. Turn right and then turn left. Recalculating. Maybe I'm the only one that hears that all the time. One of these days, I think she's going to come out of there and slap me or something. Because a lot of times I said, I'm thinking, why in the world you take me that? I know this is closer. You know. Yeah. But yeah. And I knew generally where I was going. I knew how to get over that side. It just was the last few little turns I didn't know where I was going. So I turned it on. And sometimes I feel I ought to wait till I get there, get closer there, and then turn it on. Watch what it says in Proverbs 3:5. You got it there? Watch. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Take what you have. Believe him. It's with the heart, man believes in the righteousness. Commit it over to him. That's what it means to trust with all your heart. Turn it all over to him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. It's almost like Bugs Bunny, you know. You got the good rabbit sitting on this shoulder and the bad rabbit sitting on this shoulder, you know, and you're trying to figure out which one you're supposed to be listening to. And he said, trust the Lord with all thine heart. Don't even give him an ear. Don't even lean that way. Don't even give it a chance. In all. Important little word. He didn't throw that in there. He didn't say in some. He didn't say when you like to. He said, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. What's it mean to acknowledge him, Dad? Is that what you think I ought to do? Well, let's find out. You see, sometimes we need to get the acknowledgement ahead of time. That's why we come to church to learn the Word of God. Because, you see, he'll bring it to, he'll, the Holy Spirit leads us, he guides us in all truth, he'll bring it back to our remembrance. But see, if we don't have it, and we've never remembered it, how can we bring it back to our remembrance? We're waiting for God to zap it on us. Study to show thyself approved, a workman needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly divide the word of truth. Learn the word of God. And so when something comes up, Holy Spirit says, now you know what to do with that one. Remember? And you may say, well, I can't find the verse. But you'd be surprised how many times. By the way, the numbers, they were put in there later. Okay? They're not inspired. They were put in there later. But the fact is, that thought comes through. And you may not even be able to word it quite right, but you know what God's telling you to do. In all thy ways acknowledge. Well, God, what do you want me to do? Well, I want you to go to church this week and listen to what the preacher has to say. He can say something to probably be what you need. I can't tell you how many times I've had people say that. That message was for me. And then they'll tell me what part of it. Someone said, well, that message was for me, and there was another, a different part. Well, that hymn was for me. Well, what he said during the announcements, he threw a little something in there. That one was for me. You never know where the Lord's going to give you the goodie. He says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. But I'm so smart. No. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Know that he knows better, and depart from evil. Oh, my soul. There it is again. What am I supposed to do? Commit thy way and do good. Depart from evil. Genesis 12, 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abram. And said unto unto thy seed will I give this land. There builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence from a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed, going on still towards the south. You know what he did? He left Haran. But he says, I'm going to make sure I talk with the Lord. I'm going to meet with the Lord. He built an altar. You only come by way of the blood. And he says, I want to sacrifice something. Because I want to make sure before I head out, that I'm where God wants me to be. I'm heading the direction God wants me to go. And I'm doing what he wants me to do. In all thy ways acknowledge him. So he acknowledged him. He said, Lord, I'm doing this because you said so. It's okay to say that to God. I'm doing this because you said so. You made it clear. I'm doing it because you said so. And then it says, he went. In Genesis 13, it says Abraham went up out of Egypt. That's another story. We'll get to that. He and his wife and all that he had and Lot with him and into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver. And he went out. This is another time, the journeys. And what did he do? He went even to Bethel, back to the house of God, and the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. What did he do? In all thy ways acknowledge him. Then I'm not moving. I'm going because you said so. And I'm not moving until you say so. But if you say so, I'm going. Listen. That was, again, I'm sorry to use the personal illustration. And some of you, I'm not going to get into the story about my wife's one-minute message. But the fact is, I know I was called here without a shadow of a doubt. And because of that, even when I am frustrated up to my ears, and even when I feel like everything's falling apart and I don't know how we're going to face another day, I am reminded that God brought me here. And he knew what was going to happen while I was here. And so because if all my ways I acknowledge him, I remember saying, Lord, just tell me what you want me to do. Put it on a billboard. Sterling's supposed to go to Africa to be a missionary. Whatever it is, you tell me. Sterling's supposed to stay right where he is. That's fine. I just want to make sure I'm in your middle of your will. That's what I wanted. And God knew that. And I had acknowledged him and acknowledged him and acknowledged him. God, where am I going? I told you to go this direction and do right. But am I ever going to get there? Just keep going the next day. The next day. I'm not seeing it. It's a long trip. Many years. Just keep going. Just keep going. You just keep acknowledging me. You'll get where you're supposed to be. And when you get there, I'll let you know. And because I waited for that, when the problems come up, though I'm not saying, listen, we talked about the message this morning. All of a sudden, the man of God gets scared. And then the Lord says, no, wait a minute. Don't get scared of the wind. Don't get scared of the earthquake. Don't get scared of the fire. You just be still and listen for the still small voice. And I'll let you know. So Abraham acknowledged God. Watch. Lot went into the world. We'll get to that story. Some of you know the story. Lot went into the world. Abraham went to the Lord. Genesis 13:12. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. We got rid of Lot here. He's gone. Listen, for all the land which thou seest, that will I give thee and thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and he built there an altar unto the Lord. He said, well, we got another big step here to go. Well, I got to acknowledge him. Make sure I'm where I'm supposed to be. It's time to stop. Let me give you one quick illustration. Matthew 6:33. Can you quote it with me? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee. Right? Watch. What's the command? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Right? What's the promise? And all these things shall be added unto you. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to commit ourselves to him by doing what? Seeking first his kingdom, his authority in our life. Doing what he calls us to do. Doing what he tells us to do. Doing right. Put the main priority, the main purpose. On your paper there, the command is to seek first. The capacity is all things are added unto you. And the commitment is this. Do it! Put seeking God's authority and living righteously first and top priority over all things. And if we do not do it, we only have, a dead faith. Dead faith accomplishes nothing. To partly obey is really to not obey. To sort of seek God's authority when it makes sense to us or when we do not have to risk too much is not faith. And that kind of faith is not going to get all things added unto us. Then we wonder why it's not happening and we blame God. We must seek first in our time and in our priorities. It's not great faith, but ordinary faith in a faithfulness of an extraordinary God. Ordinary faith steps out, does what God has commanded us to do. And if we have great feelings of faith, but we never step out on our faith, we have dead faith and it will accomplish nothing. The original condition of Abraham was not good. He got a command to God and he committed himself to God's way. Let's pray. Father, again, we're late. I hate to be late, but I think this is such important stuff we need to understand. Thank you so much for these dear folks. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. The altar is open.